H-74, we spoke in years past about how did the Jewish people get ensnared by the people of Moab? What was wrong and how did they get caught? But today we're going to speak about the reaction of Pinchas. Because very often, I think it's interesting to note, we very often our instinct is to react that way. It's to react to something with kanos. Kanos means zealotry. Right, if I were to ask you to define zealotry, what is the definition? Oh, any English professors here? Oh, yeah, one. What is the definition of zealotry? What is a zealot?
A zealot is someone that is overboard. Overly anxious. Desperate, did you say?
Overreactionary?
Yes.
So you say inappropriate. That's a zealot.
It's a...
So I just heard today. Is it a negative word?
I think so.
I just heard today. I mean, well, two interesting comments.
Okay.
They're very interesting. They say now. I saw. It didn't. This didn't appear in the Israeli press, but in the American press, there's a report going on the AP that there's a special Knesset meeting because Ariel Sharon is concerned for his own safety. Why? Who's he worried about?
The zealots.
Religious settlers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure Sharon actually said this, but just raising the specter that, you know, it's very inflammatory. Very, very inflammatory. On the one hand, that's on the one hand. On the other hand, there's a report coming out of Iraq that one group in Iraq is threatening to kill another cleric in Iraq because why? Because he's defiling the holy city of something or other. I don't even remember anymore. You know, where does that come from? Where does this idea come from? Is zealotry overboard?
Yeah,
here's the problem with saying zealotry is overboard.
Well, the Maccabees were zealots. They called them
overboard?
Right, one man's zealot is another man's freedom fighter, isn't it?
Zealous.
That's you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends on which side
you're in. Right.
Now, if you feel that no Jew should be taken out of his home, then... they're okay, then they're not zealots.
Well, zealotry would mean that they're willing to... Well, let's see. It's hard to say. It's hard to call them zealots because they're not willing to murder for their cause.
No.
They're not, you know, the line between...
If no Jew should be kicked out of where he lives, then he has the right to, if you agree with him, then he has the right to...
Yeah, but the fact that he wants to live there doesn't make him a zealot. A zealot has to go ahead and do something.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's what? What is a zealot? What would be the definition of a zealot? Not murder, but I would say act out. What? Just someone, just a strong feelings.
Was Mayor Kahane a zealot?
Yeah.
I thought he was correct in everything he did.
That doesn't mean
that. That's
still a zealot.
That's still a zealot.
Right.
But other people thought he was correct.
Correct. Yeah. What defines the appropriateness as a zealotry and or otherwise? Well, let's see what happens. H-74. Vayeshev Yisrael b'Shittim, v'yachal am biznos espinos Moab. So the Jewish people are dwelling in Shittim, and the Jewish people, as we know, began to commit harlotry with the people of the daughters of Moab. So we've discussed in previous years how this happened, what the process was. Pasuk bet. Parak chapei pasuk bet. So the Jewish people began to bow down to the idols of the nation. Take all the heads of the people and string them up before God in front of the sun. And the flaring wrath of God will withdraw from Israel. So now is God a zealot? Or just mad?
Just
mad.
Yeah.
Just mad. It's just the word of zealotry, I mean, we think of it in negative terms now. A zealot, yeah, as someone who overreacts. So is God overreacting? The people committing idolatry in the you know, in front of the Jewish camp when they're about to enter the land of Israel after 40 years?
No.
Okay, we don't think he's overreacting.
Well, how come he didn't say that with the Chetega? Or how come why didn't he say for so many other things that we have done, why Dr. Bish to string them up? Why didn't Hashem say, weren't other things worse than this?
Yeah.
Or is that because maybe we have more experience, we should have known better.
Enough.
What?
Yeah, but on the other hand,
he has to stop it from spreading, maybe. Yeah. The idea of stringing people up and hanging them up means that you want to set them as an example.
Right.
To prevent it from happening. So what happened? Vayom Moshe al Shoftei Yisrael, Hergu Ish Anashav Hanitzmedim Lebaal Peor. So you have to kill the people that are bowing down to Baal Peor. Right? Now the problem with making an edict is you have to have somebody carry it out. And if you don't carry it out, then it becomes even worse. Vehine Ish Mibnei Yisrael Ba, Vayakrev El Echav Es Amidyanis Le'enei Moshe U'le'enei Kol Adas V'nei Yisrael. And behold, a Jewish person came, and he brought to his brothers the Midianite, to the eyes of Moshe and to the eyes of all the children of Israel, v'hema bochim petach ohel moed. And there they are, crying in the entrance of the ohel moed. So some Jewish person brought this non-Jewish woman, Pasuk Zion, v'yar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aharon HaKohen, saw this. And he got up from amongst the people and he took a spear in his hands. He followed the Israelite man into the tent. And he followed the man into the tent. He pierced them both, the Israelite man and the woman in her stomach, and the plague was halted from upon the children of Israel. Vayihyu ha-meitim b'magefa arba'a ve'esrim aleph. There are 24,000 people died in this plague. Next, keep going. A76.
That happened immediately, or it takes time to kill 24,000.
How long does it take God to kill 24,000 people?
No time.
It's a plague. Right. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor. God spoke to Moshe saying, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen, Heshiv et Chamati me'al b'nei Yisrael, Bekano et Kinati b'tocham. He quelled my anger from among the Jewish people, Bekano et Kinati b'tocham, when he zealously avenged my vengeance among them. Okay? What is a kanai? What is kina? Not jealousy. Zealousness. Kanai is a zealot. So when Pinchas zealousized, I don't know what the verb is, my zealousness among them. So really, who was the real zealot? Who was the original zealot? God. Correct. And why did God decide, I don't have to be a zealot anymore? Because Pinchas did it for me.
Yes.
And I did not destroy the Jewish people in my zealousness. So it's a very interesting line. God was the zealot. He had begun to destroy the Jewish people. Pinchas took over his zealousness, reacted, and God stopped.
Where was Moshe in all this?
Right. We'll see. And if God had not, and if Pinchas had not acted and God had not stopped, then what would have happened?
Oh, they would all die.
So here's the problem we face. On the one hand, God is happy he didn't destroy the Jewish people. On the other hand, though, God himself was destroying the Jewish people. So which is it? Was God right to destroy the Jewish people? Did he want to destroy all the Jewish people?
But it's called justice when you do something wrong, you have to be punished.
So, but what I'm asking Mrs. Shinsky is that if God didn't want to destroy the Jewish people, and that wasn't his ultimate goal, then why did he do it?
Because he had no other choice.
What do you mean he had no other choice?
He knew somebody would stop him.
He knew somebody would stop him.
Yeah. Yeah. They can't just do what they want.
And if need be, it'll destroy them all.
Hush for sure.
But that was a good question. Where's Moshe?
Where's Moshe?
Crying.
Well, we'll see where Moshe is according to the Midrash.
He was crying?
According to the Pshat, he's crying. Do you understand my question? Mm-hmm. So which one is it? Does God want to destroy the people, or does he not want to destroy the people?
But he doesn't want to do it. He wants to maybe awaken the feelings of the people, those who are complacent and just accepting it. stirring them. Why else would Pinchas?
Why are they responsible? Why is God destroying the Jewish people?
Because they're acting in the way they have.
Why is that?
Because they are their children.
What do they do? So you're right, people are worshiping that Baal Peor, fine, kill them. You know, this guy is committing adultery, fine, kill him. What do the Jewish people do?
They're joining in.
That's right.
They're joining in, they're being complacent. Which one is it? Are they sitting? Are they culpable by complacency?
You're sitting and watching these horrible things happening, and you're not.
This is the conundrum that is this section of the Torah. If you say then that complacency or inaction about transgression angers God so much so that He needs to destroy the Jewish people, That means that all of us have to be zealous.
So is he more upset?
Right, if you see somebody doing something wrong,
that you're obligated
to do what?
Yeah.
To pick up a spear and to spear him to death?
No. To talk to him.
So that's the difference. So that's hokeach tochiach. That's to give rebuke. That's a myth of every Jew.
I was discussing this in another class, and a person in the class said that he was in a carpool with somebody going over the bridge somewhere in New York, and it was a great carpool, and he liked being in it. When they went over the bridge, two of the men had forged, I don't know how they have tickets or something in New York where you go over a bridge, so that they had forged some kind of tickets so that they weren't paying.
Yeah.
And he didn't say anything about it because he liked the carpool, and it bothered him. So was he wrong not to say anything? Yes, we all agree. Even if he would have lost his place in the carpool, what they were doing needed some kind of a rebuke.
Right, but I'm not talking about rebuke. I'm talking about what the difference between rebuke and stepping it up a level to zealotry.
Okay.
Right? Should he have put gas, could have sand in their gas tank if they refused to stop?
Yes.
No.
He would have killed all the Jews out.
No. I'm talking about in your case.
Oh.
Should you take a zealot? I think is
right.
One who takes matters into his own hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's the definition of a zealot.
Right.
So why these? Oh, we'll talk about the Gemara. Why are these settlers? They're not zealots because they're fighting, but within the system. They have every right to disagree and to say we're going to fight you tooth and nail, PR from here till tomorrow, to try to convince the people of Israel that no Jew should be forced out of their land. But they cross over a line. Yeah, and they have the right to resist and passive resistance and to be arrested and all those things. But they don't have the right to take the law into their own hands. That's a zealot. And you step it up and take the law into your own hands.
So what
sounds like Pinchas got very happy, right? What happened? God said, I would have taken the law into my hands. So Pinchas took the law into his own hands. He acted on his own will, and he stopped the wrath of God. Is that something for us to emulate? It's one thing to tell a person to change. It's another thing to force them to change. Does God want us to force other people to behave in a certain way?
What about if you're obviously like I am? I'm totally anti-smoking, and I've been telling people, and they're not going to quit. Let's say what if quit? That's an example. Some people quit smoking.
How are you going to force them? How are you going to force them?
Can't force them. That's what I'm saying.
Right. What if somebody refused to wear their seatbelt? Should you call the police and ask them to ticket them?
What about helmets?
That I think for sure you should.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that you should give any parent that doesn't force their children to wear a helmet when they ride their bike should definitely be ticketed. I'll say that to the tape publicly. I do. Should be ticketed. Because they're responsible. But anyway.
Even in the backseat.
Therefore, says the Torah, Lachain, Pasuk Yud Beis, and more. Moshe, you should see. You tell him. I'm giving him my bris shalom, my covenant of peace. What is that? I give him greetings. And
okay, he did great.
That's what it means. We see shalom. He did good.
Okay.
So that's what I want to know. Is it just I'm giving him shalom? Good job. I'm giving him yashar koyach.
That's what's
not guilty.
Or is it something more than that? Not guilty.
Not guilty of any crime, right?
Okay, interesting. Well, Rashi says, "Bisi shalom." Shetehelo libris shalom. It should be a covenant of peace. Ki adam hamachshik tova. The chanos the misha osa iro tova afkan pirush la kadosh baruch hu shalom osa. You know what it means? God gave him a certificate of commendation. Good job.
Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor. Well, not a Medal of Honor. A commendation of peace. And his children afterwards should have a covenant of eternal kahuna, a priesthood. Tachas asher kinei le'lokav, because he was zealous for his God. Vayichaper al b'nei Yisrael, and he atoned for the children of Israel. Here's my question. Pinchas was the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron. So why is God making him a Kohen? So why is God making him a Kohen?
Because the Kohanim couldn't become just became Kohanim before, and after Aaron became a Kohen, I guess Memphis was alive already.
You're very good. Look at Rashi. Excellent. Very good. Says Rashi, Brisku Nas Olam, Rashi on Yud Gimel, Brisku Nas Olam. And hey, you know, all the children of Aaron already were calling him. Lo nitna ella la Aaron ulavana, shenimshachu ima ulatoldal sehem shiyudu la achar hamshachasan. So it was only given to Aaron and his sons, and all future children. Right? Meaning when the Kohanim became Kohanim, it was Aaron and his children and all of their future children. Who got left out?
Pinchas.
Why? Because he was already born.
Oh, right. See, if you had a family, somebody could have had two sons when they became Kohanim.
Correct.
Three more, so three would.
Only in that family. Only in that one family. But Elazar had Pinchas, and then his other children who were born after that were Kohanim. So therefore, that's why Pinchas was given the bris of Kohen and becoming a Kohen. All right, so we have an interesting story. We have a lot of questions about this story. What in the world happened? Let's go back to Bala for a second. What in the world happened? We're going to learn the Midrashim, some of the Midrashim. What in the world happened with the man and the Pinchas? Who got killed? Who are these 24,000 people? How fast did it happen? What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Why is Pinchas rewarded? And in general, the real question for us is, what are we supposed to take away from this? And the answer to these questions, that last question is I'm going to tell you right away, somewhat vague. God does praise Pinchas for his behavior, but it's very dangerous to learn from it. Very, very dangerous, as we'll see in the next few. All right, let's look at the sheet.
I love your titles.
Zealousness?
Well, I like all the titles when you do the sheets for the Navi class.
Okay. Zealousness. Rehema Bochi. Remember, where is Moshe Rabbeinu? He's crying. V'lama hayu bochim, says the Midrash. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. V'pishakach haya maisa. This is the story. Halach shivtel shel Shimon etel Zimri ben Salu. The tribe of Shimon went to Zimri. Amrulo, they said, Hein shovte Yisrael, danim dine nefashos. V'heach ata yoshe v'shote. So the people of Shimon obviously were engaged in this type of behavior. And they said, hey, they went to their Nasi, their minister, and they said, they're killing us. What are you doing for us? You're our elected official. You're our elected representative. Go represent us. Ma'asa, what did he do? Ama v'kibeich esim v'arba alafim miyisrael v'halach etel kasbi. So here we get that number 24,000. So he gathered 24,000 people and he went to Kasbi. Who is Kasbi? The Midianite woman, the princess. Amarla, Hishani Lila Avera. He said to her, he's got this 24,000 people. Imagine, like, he filled up the palace of Auburn Hills with Jews. He took them all out, and they're all following him. And he said, I've got 24,000 people. Come sin with me. It's very weird. Amarlo, Bashmelechani. I'm a princess. Who do you think you are? V'chein Tziva La Avi, Lo Tzismei Ela Legadol Shadehem. My father said, you can only sin with one person. There's only one man you can sin with. Who is that?
Moshe.
Amalah. He said, Afulisi Shebatu Kamoni. He's no better than me. I'm a prince. He's a prince. I'm a prince of Shimon. He's a prince of Levi. He didn't mention one other thing. Mm-hmm. What did he mention about Moshe?
He was married.
He's had Hansel in charge. They're all married. My shevet is better than his. Shehu Shimon Sheni Lebeten, Behu Levi Shlishi Lebeten. I am the Nasi of Shimon, the second born, and he is the Nasi of Levi, third born. Tefasha Biblo Risha Behavia Eitzel Moshe. He grabbed her by her hair and dragged her in front of Moshe. Amarlo, he said to him, Ben Amram. Zu Asura, O Muteres. Can I sleep with this woman or not? Vim Toma Asura, Vash Yisro Mihi Kirala. Ouch. And if you say that she is forbidden, who allowed you to marry the daughter of Yitro? Says the Torah, it says in Midrash, the very same as Gemara, Nit'alma minenu halacha. Moshe forgot the halacha. Shenamar, as it says, B'sinai haboel kusis and kanayim pogimbo. If someone engages in illicit behavior, haboel kusis kanayim pogimbo. Zealots are allowed to take action. Ga'u kulam b'vichia. So Moshe didn't know what to do. So they all started to cry. V'haynu dichtiv, Behema Bochim Petach Olmoy. They're all crying at the entrance of the Olmoy. What a wacky story.
Why did they want it to
walk? I need to get a Gemara.
What brought them to do it, though?
Yitzhar Hara.
Yitzhar Hara.
What brought them to do it?
Yitzhar Hara. Why? What happened before?
Oh, we spoke about this. What brought him to do it? What really brought him to do that, to commit the idolatry?
Yeah.
The women.
The women?
The women.
The women.
Yeah.
But that part is mine. It's Moshe, you're married. So, what can you say?
It's interesting to note that Moshe forgot the halacha. This is one of, and the Gemara also says, the Midrash says that this is a punishment. Moshe forgot the halacha. That he's punished sometimes for getting the halacha, for not knowing the halacha, for having spoken in his own name earlier. What does that mean that Moshe forgot the halacha here? What? Moshe himself was supposed to kill him. What's he supposed to do that he forgot? Why did Moshe forget? It's a very interesting question. Why in the Mishnah, why in the Midrash does Moshe forget? He doesn't want to remember? He's too busy crying?
No,
he wants to remember. He wants to know. What do you mean? If he forgets... By the way, let's look at the language again. Mit alma minenu halacha. Mit alma minenu. What does mit alma minenu halacha mean, Dora? Ah, very good. What does that mean? It was hidden from him. Who hid it from him? Right. Why?
Because he wanted Pinterest to come.
No, not necessarily. Close.
You don't most have to deal.
Correct. Correct. Why? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. First of all, welcome back to Mrs. Gittleman. Mrs. Gittleman, I forgot to welcome you back. How was Eretz Yisrael? Yeah? Kiryat Sefer is still there? A lot of Jews there, huh? Oh, very good. Okay, good. I didn't welcome her back from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, good to have you back. Oh, you came back yesterday?
Came back a week ago.
A week ago. Okay, good. Mrs. Rober came back yesterday, I think. She's probably tired. Okay. Why does God hide the halacha from him? Where are we now historically?
Right before going in.
What has just happened? What has been decreed?
Moshe's
not going in. Moshe can't solve the problem. Why can't Moshe solve the problem?
Not
he's still in charge.
But he won't be.
He won't be. He's not going to be there forever to solve the problem.
He's a lame duck, right?
He's a lame duck in a sense.
Yeah.
Right? Here you have a problem, and a problem comes up. Moshe can't forever solve the problem. And if Moshe solves the problem now, who's going to solve the problem later? So here, why is Moshe crying? Somebody standing up to Moshe. But it's not Moshe's fight anymore. So he's crying in the Ohel Moed because he understands, what am I supposed to do? I can't fight this fight. God just told me I'm going to die. Aaron is dead. Miriam is dead. I'm going to die. What do you want from me? So he would have fought, but he understands that God won't let him fight anymore. He can't remember what to do. He can't remember. And if Moshe Rabbeinu can't remember, what does that mean?
It
means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him to remember. Somebody else stand up, please. Will somebody else stand up? And so why does Moshe start crying? What? Who else is there? He starts crying, they start crying. They say, Moshe, what should we do? And he says, I don't remember. You do something. And they say, we don't know what to do without you.
Where's Yoshua?
Actually, interesting. Where's Yoshua at this point? Very interesting. Yoshua has not been appointed yet. Somebody has to. Yes, but somebody has to step up. And it's not Moshe. Yoshua was at his side. He's Moshe's faithful servant, Moshe's student.
Moshe's crying.
Good. Moshe, what should I do? He says, his Talmud. His Talmud. Now remember, what Pinchas did was a little bit insolent at the same time. Moshe's crying, right? Here you have a leader of the community. He's not doing anything. So who are you to stand up and start doing something? Right? In fact, it says that Pinchas was more halacha lifnei rabbo. He taught the halacha in front of his rebbe. One second. Let me see if I can find the midrash.
That's a no-no?
Yeah.
Why shouldn't you do that?
What?
No.
Right, let's look at that midrash. Look at the second midrash. Vayar Pinchas. Vayar Pinchas. Pinchas saw what was happening. Right? Mara. So let me ask you, what did he see? What? Right. It's interesting. It's unclear. If you look in the Chumash, it says, look in the Chumash again. Look at Pasuk Vav. V'hinei ish nivnei Yisrael ba, person of Yisrael came. So you have two things in that pasuk. You have the sin, and you have Moshe crying. What does Pinchas see? So it's unclear. Does he see them acting? Does he see what they do? I mean, look at the chutzpah in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, he comes up to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not just that he comes up to Moshe Rabbeinu and he does what he does. He comes up to Moshe Rabbeinu, he slaps him in the face, and he says, your wife is mutter, this woman is mutter to me. I mean, an unbelievable chutzpah. And Moshe is crying, and he can't do anything. So what does he say? Vayar Pinchas, what does he see?
All of it.
So it says in Midrash, look back in our sheets, Vayar Pinchas, Ma Ra'a, Amar Ra'a. He sees this act and he remembers the halacha. Amalau, he says to him, Achi Avi Abba, I'm Moshe. Hey, my uncle, Achi Avi Abba, my father's brother. Lokach li maritani berita meharsinai. Didn't you tell us when you came down from Harsinai, Habol Eshakusis Kanaim Pogimbo? That someone who lives with a guy, with a goya, with a non-Jewish woman in a public way. That kanaim bogimbo, that zealot should take action. Amar lo Moshe lepinchas. So Moshe said, "Karyana di igarta ihu lahave parvanka." The guy who reads the letter, he has to be the messenger. Meaning what?
You have to do it.
You said it.
You have to do it.
You do it. Right, Ma Moshe knows the halacha, but what's he saying to him? He's saying, it's not just that I don't know the halacha. The halacha was hidden from me for a reason. Okay, you're right. Now you know the halacha. What are you going to do about it? You do it. Look at what the next thing are. Shmuel Amar, Ma Ra'a, ra'ah she'ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein eitza neged Hashem. Kol makom she'yesh chilo Hashem, ein chokim kavod l'rav. And he said, ah, l'fikach, therefore he says, hora pinchas halacha b'fnei rabo, v'lohim tin lito rishus mi Moshe. Shela yivu haroyim v'yimdu yomadu l'hakir es akuthi. Right, what did he see? He saw the action, he saw Moshe unable to act, or Moshe unwilling to act. So he was passing before his Rebbe. You're not allowed to pass it before your Rebbe. He said, you're allowed to pass it before your Rebbe when there's a Chil Hashem on the line. The tricky thing about Pinchas' behavior is it's split second. It's now. It's got to, you got to act. Do it. There's no time. Meaning, the whole point of a Kanoi is, a zealot is, he's not, a Kanoi doesn't ask questions. Right. He didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? In the Midrash he asks, but in the Chumash it says, Vayar Pinchas, Vayakom, Vayikach Romach. Pinchas saw, and he got a gun.
A what? A
what is that? Yeah. Oh, very good. A hitzkop. Very good. He's a hothead. He saw and he was so riled up. He had to take matters into his own hands. He was going to take care of things. The only problem with the hitzkop. What's the problem? What's the problem? It just so happens that in this case, he saved all of the Jewish people. Well, just so happens that he saved the Jewish people.
Proof of the pudding is in the eating. Save the Jews.
Right. So does that mean that it's always appropriate?
No.
How can you say no?
Because this is a precedent.
What?
This would be a precedent.
Why isn't it a precedent? That's what I'm asking you. That's what I'm asking you. Why isn't it a precedent?
The situation. God was going to kill all the people.
He didn't know that.
No, but he saw what was happening and he couldn't see anything.
Does Pinchas make a... What I want to know is, is Pinchas' zealousness, yeah. Is it a...
Split second.
Or is it a split second? Is it a...
Heat of the moment?
Thoughtful. Right. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Is it a heat of the moment
action?
You know, out of passionate rage behavior? Or is it a thoughtful, considered reaction to what's going on?
Well, I don't know that it was a long thought out, but here he sees Moshe Rabbeinu not doing anything, so
he's doing something.
And he's picking up the vibes that he shouldn't, that he can't do it. So in this case, Pinchas has to take charge.
Okay, and how should he take charge? Meaning?
Well, he knows the halacha.
Okay, so you're saying, though, therefore, that his action was thoughtful and decisive. It might have been split second, but it was a decisive halachic decision.
Right.
Okay, that's a very important... Right. What? No, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong at all. I think the problem comes in, I think, interesting, the problem comes in when you paint him the other way. When you start to say, zealousness is good. You have to act out. You have to tell people when they're wrong. You have to, you have to react. You know, they're going to open the JCC on Shabbos? Well, we're going to, well, marching is good. Marching would be good. We're going to, throw stones. Right. Well, that's good, too. You're welcome to do that.
That's
not jealousness. But I'm saying, we're going to, we're going to vandalize the JCC.
Yeah, that's
what? That's not good.
Hit him in a while.
Yeah. So you have to, but you can see, and we have seen, Jewish people take this example of Pinchas and run with it. Right?
Yes.
We'll
see
it
in the moment.
Right. I mean, you see, and thankfully not recently, not in recent times.
Did you see it all?
You know, the people for the ethical treatment of animals, they don't like that you killed the animal, so therefore what are they going to do? They're going to paint, going to throw red paint at you and ruin your mink coat. Why? Because they have to rise up, take matters into their own hands. If the government's not going to do anything, we have to do it. Reminds me of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Everybody heard Hillary's quote from this past Sunday?
Yeah.
She told a bunch of rich people in San Francisco, she said, the government knows what to do with your money better than you do, so we're going to take your money and give it to the poor people instead of you. That's what she said.
Yeah.
That's not so smart.
That's okay. A lot of friends.
Right.
Right.
She said that. Says the halacha. Hagonev es hakisva. A kiss if you steal something, an item of worship from God. V'hamakalel b'kosem, and if you curse God, v'haboil aramis, and if you live with a non-Jew, kanaim pogimbo, then kanaim are allowed to go and take actions into their own hands. Now the halacha is the following. The interesting thing about halacha is
this was halacha you just read.
Yeah, I read the Gemara, the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. So those are three examples, three types of examples where kanaim pogimbo. What about chilo shabbos? And Avodah Zara, and murder, and all those other things?
No.
No. Then can I not pose?
Read those three things again.
Hagonev es hakisva.
What's that?
Say it in English.
One who steals, the Gemara says, kisva is clay sheris. Are utensils from the Beis HaMikdash. If you steal utensils from the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, how would you...
Vahamakalel b'kosem. One second. Vahamakalel b'kosem means you curse God. Okay. Bekose means with mekalal eschaver, you curse your friend with a kose with divinity, with you know voodoo. And the third one is the haboal aramis.
If you live with a guy.
But it's not live with a guy if you live with a guy more than that. You know.
And practice avodah
zarah. No, if you live with a guy, I don't think it's
publicly brag about.
Yeah, I think so. It's got to be more public than that.
In your face.
Mm-hmm.
The first one.
No, I didn't say that in the mission though.
Give us an example of today.
It would be hard today. It wouldn't be today.
Today.
No. I guess if you slept with a guy, I can't even talk to you about.
That
you could do. Happens all the time. Right. Okay. But those are the only three.
Those would be assimilated.
So who are the zealots? Who are the ones who take it in their hands?
Here's the question. The Gemara says, it's halacha ve'ein morin tein. Let's say I saw, you know, Yaakov Goldberg, right? And he happened to be Baal HaRamis. And I witnessed it, and I said, oh, he's Baal HaRamis. I have to go be pogeah him, right? So I go to my Rebbe, and I say, Rebbe, I call him up on the telephone, I get him on the phone, and I say, I've got a situation of Baal HaRamis. Can I go be Kanaim Pogimbo? Can I take one into my own hands? Halacha says, he can't tell me yes. No.
You have to ask a shiloh?
No, you can't ask a shiloh.
What?
No, I didn't tell him who it is. No.
Oh.
Either you do it or you don't do it. You know, it's not the kind of thing that you ask a shiloh. Right.
I would want you to take things that matter in your own hands.
Right.
It's an immediate action. It's not something that's anything...
Correct. Meaning, the thing that makes you a kanoi is you don't ask, you have to do it. Right? Which is an interesting thing also.
So anybody could be a kanoi.
Yeah. Who are kanaim, says Rashi? Yeah. Kanaim are, one second, kanaim are a zealous. Kanaim are b'nei adam sherim, kosher people, hamishkanim kinato shel makom, who have the zealousness of God. Who have the jealous zealousness of God. Who are, in that case though, what does it sound like? It doesn't sound like this, you know, thought out, decisive, considered action. You have to look at this and see what happens and be outraged.
At the moment.
Yeah, and you don't go ask Silas. You see this happening, you go and take care of it.
Okay,
see, but my point is, though, it only happens for these three things. And why these three things? That's how it's about Peset. Our problems stir up when it happens for a lot of other things also. You know, my righteous indignation, how dare you go ahead and, you know, say such a thing or do such a thing or, you know, and we're going to make sure that it doesn't happen. You don't have a right to do that. You know, it's interesting. I'm never a big fan of coercion. People are very upset, very, very upset that here in Israel, they just passed a law in the Knesset that you can sell pork. Right? Now, I happen to think that they shouldn't sell pork in Israel. I think that they shouldn't. I wish that they wouldn't. But I'm not sure it should be illegal. I spoke to you about this on Shabbos, didn't I? Why? Because we find that to release coercion never, ever works. Not usually. Always backfires. Have you ever had a case where somebody said, I'm so glad you coerced me into doing something?
No.
Yeah, your children, right? Mm-hmm. We practice religious coercion on our children. I don't ask my daughter whether she wants to say a bracha. She's two. So I say a bracha. Very nice. That's religious coercion.
Right? Why? Because that's what we do with our children. It's called indoctrination. It's called education. But after a person is at the point where they're educated and they don't want to, to force them only makes them resentful. Except somehow we live in a society that sometimes thinks that religious coercion is appropriate. Mm-hmm. And I've never ever heard of a case where it's been effective. Oh, you know, somebody come back later and say, I'm glad they coerced me, they forced me.
How about giving a gift?
What?
How about giving a gift?
No, there, that's not religious coercion. I'm not forcing you. I'm trying, we can't coerce it. But if we could, we're coercing somebody into letting another woman be free. That's not the same thing as forcing you to do something for yourself.
Oh, for yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to the Midrash. He took a spear in his hand. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing. From this, you don't bring your guns into the Midrash. Actually, this is interesting. I remember when I was in Tel Aviv, the guys would come. It's a Hezer yeshiva, so when they had Israelis, yeah, they would come on from leave. They would have leave. But when you're a soldier in the army,
you don't have that.
Yeah, you're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to bring your guns to Vietnam.
You're married to that gun.
Yes.
You're what?
You're married to that gun. You don't let that gun out of your sight.
Correct.
It's as if you are married to that.
Yeah, it's true actually. So they actually would. I think if I recall, they would bring it in. Mm-hmm. They would bring it in. And they would keep it under their chair, right? Because they're not allowed to.
Because how many times those guns are stolen and then.
Yeah, they're very serious. Correct. Okay. What happened? Ma'asha, third line. Shalash shinana. Himicha be'unkali. He took off the spear, the tip of the spear, and put it in his pocket. V'haya nishan v'holech al maklo. And the rest of the spear is just a stick. So he's walking on his stick. Right, because he had to enter the tent. This is a tent. Remember, how many people does the prince of Shimon have with him? 24,000 people. He's got his Shimon tribe militia. Right. When he got to the shape of Shimon, he said, "Who says you guys should be better than me?" Meaning what? What did he want? He gets to the door, knocks on the door, and he says, "Why should you guys be better than me?
I want in.
I want not trouble.
I want
you. What does he want?
I want to get closer up.
No. What does he want?
Equal rights.
What rights does he want? What's going on in that tent? That's it. Whatever you. Kolomar. You guys are having your way with the daughters of Moab. Why shouldn't I have fun? I'm supposed to be so firm. I'm from Shevet Levi. I'm supposed to be so firm that I can't have a good time too. Good argument. What happened? Let him in. He wants in also. He went in. Hetir pushim etadavar vada imuter laasos kain. Shrei Pinchas ata kamotenu. Kach amdu amru haumdim kam shiraul shenichnas. The problem was, as soon as he went in, what did everybody else think? Hey, if Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, can do it,
so why can't we?
We should be able to do it too. So therefore, Pinchas has to take matters into his own hands quickly, because otherwise, before you know it, you know, everybody's going to be asking that way. That's interesting. Somebody asked me that question today. They said to me, and this is actually something you should let people know, is Carvel's on Orchard Lake Road kosher? No? Anyone there?
Carvel?
There's now a Carvel ice cream store on Orchard Lake Road. Orchard Lake Road.
Oh.
Right. So is it kosher? So here's the problem with Carvel. Same problem we have with Baskin Robbins. The vast majority of the products under the Carvel name are kosher under the Hashgacha of the Chafkei. But in an ice cream store, there is no guarantee that the ice cream you're buying is the same ice cream. Plus, are all the flavors kosher? Plus, are all the toppings kosher? Right? So you don't know. So I always tell people, now it's interesting because under certain circumstances, people do go into ice cream stores. For example, we are on Mackinac Island. Right? On Mackinac Island, you're out there, there's nothing to eat. Right? So, well, there's nothing to eat, you're on your own, nothing to eat. So we went into the ice cream store, and I specifically asked them, can you please wash off the scoop? And also, I asked them, for each time I bought the ice cream, I asked them, could you lift up the container and show me what the container is? And there it was on there, an OU, whatever. It was fine. The ice cream was fine. But...
the scooper.
What?
Washed up.
The scooper was washed up, and it's all cold.
It's cold.
Right. But you have to be careful about these things. And so somebody could see Rabbi Smolter walking to Carvel's and doing this thing, mm-hmm. and think, oh, it must be...
kosher.
Carvel's is kosher. Or see any one of you walking into Carvel's and think, oh, it must be that the Carvel's is kosher. So you have to be careful. So I always tell people, oh, we have a basket of ovens right here that's under Hashgacha. Plenty of ice cream, good toppings. Oh. Sundays, go there. Now, you know, I'm not going to say that the Carvel's for sure is straight. I'm not going to say that, what? Baskin Robbins?
No, I mean, it's better to stay away from the Carvel.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that's what the Midrash says about Pinchas. Oh, Pinchas can do it. If he can do it, I can do it. You know? And somehow then it gets out, and everybody says, comes to me, a lot of people come to me and say, I heard that the Carvel's is kosher. I didn't hear such a thing. You have to be aware. You have to let people know. See? Oh, you heard it, right? Right, so what you hear, the Carvel's ice cream itself is kosher.
They're having them to open up and they're going to be kosher. That's what I heard.
Okay, you got to be careful.
So what about the ice cream that Nestle and Carvel takes in one stop?
Oh, those, if you look carefully, they better. I'm pretty sure they have a Chaf K. They're closed and have a Chaf K on the box.
That is kosher.
So then those are certainly kosher. Yeah. Okay.
So why did he go in?
Why did he go in? Oh, why did he go in?
Yeah.
Why did he go in?
To kill him.
To kill him.
Oh, okay.
Right, so meaning he went in with his walking stick. If he had come in with a spear, they would have said, no way.
Okay.
So he got him with his walking stick, screwed on the spear, wham.
So doesn't that show that it was pre-planned? That wasn't
premeditated?
He had to think about how was it going to
be. Because otherwise he never would have gotten in. Give me another indication that shows you that it wasn't premeditated. It was a crime of, that was not a crime of, excuse me, it was an act of passion.
A crime of passion.
Not a crime of passion, an act of passion, an act of vengeance. Proved to me that it was an act of vengeance, interestingly enough. From the details of the story.
Otherwise he would never.
How did she kill them?
Right in front of everyone.
Well, how?
Through the general.
He spears two people.
To get one stroke.
Well, one stroke.
Oh.
Now, I don't know about you. I'll give you a roast. The size of one person. And try to spear through it.
I guess he was pretty strong.
He was pretty strong
angry.
And pretty angry.
Right? If sometimes your emotions can drag you down,
that's right.
Ever
sure.
Like a mother lifting off a car
sure.
Off her child.
That's what they said. Right. So therefore, it gives an indication that it wasn't just, you know, he had this vengeance, his zealousness also.
What did he look like?
So, who knows? So,
was he really shattered?
He was more like,
who knows? Who knows? What I'm trying to show you is through all of this, this idea of zealousness, on the one hand, he had to think about it, he had to unscrew unscrew the gun and hide it and whatever. He had to ask Moshe a shayla, and Moshe said, I can't tell you what to do. You have to do whatever you need to do. But at the same time, then, he went in.
Confronted with the very thing.
Right, maybe that got him all right, worked up. That's true. So it's a little bit of both, this idea of kanos. You know, on the one hand, when we see things that are wrong, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to feel that righteous indignation. You know, this whole JCC thing, it drives me crazy. I'm upset with the JCC. I'm not upset that the JCC. I'm not upset that the JCC wants to open on Shabbos. I'm not just upset that they want to open Shabbos morning. Not this one.
I go to sometimes services.
Yeah, there are some people coming.
I know, but that's. I went to a kiddush the other day. You go to a kiddush and people are going to the gym.
I saw that.
It upsets me. It should upset you. It shouldn't just be. I feel. Oh, that's what it is. What can you do? It should be. This is what it is. What can we do? Another status quo. How come it's okay for them to say, well, we want to open the JCC? We should be saying, we want to close the JCC on Shabbos. It should get you upset.
The majority of Jews is not from.
But it's, so what?
So what?
I'm just saying.
The majority of Jews are Jewish.
If they're voting, like I was in Israel, there were 11 buses of people on the mission.
Yeah.
on one bus were the people who were frozen.
Right.
And out of the one bus, not everybody, because I saw them.
Here, let me ask you a question. There were 11 buses. Mm-hmm. Half of one bus was firm.
That's right.
What percentage of the meals on the program were kosher?
All
kosher. So it might not have been up to your hashkacha. But they were all, might have not have been up to your hashkacha. But they were all kosher.
That's right. They were supposed to be all kosher.
So then, so imagine the power of a single-minded, strong community. So why shouldn't our community... How many federation programs take place on Shabbos in Detroit?
Oh, all kinds.
How many federation programs take place on Shabbos in Detroit?
Zero.
Zero. You know why? Because we care about Shabbos.
I used to keep the calendar.
Zero.
Right.
And also, how many on the mission? How many trips were on Shabbos?
They might have done private, but not public.
They
are they public? Regular?
Optional, Masada.
Optional,
yes.
Right.
Optional, Masada.
Those are tricky. Those are hard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a program for Shabbos.
But
so there were special programs for those who
look at what we can accomplish though when we speak up instead of saying what can you do this or that. I say if you're opening that Pandora's box, let's open it all the way.
Right.
Should be closed on Shabbos. But you have to be worked up about it. Worked up enough to do something, but not to take matters into your own hands. And that's the fine line that you walk. Pinchas did the proper thing. But that was for him and his situation. Almost never, ever applies. Look at what the Netziv says, HaMikdavar. It's a little hard to read. HaMikdavar is on page 2. See where it says, Esbrishi Shalom? God gave my Brishi Shalom. It's about 7 lines up from the bottom of the HaMikdavar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up. Esbrishi Shalom. Okay. Because he appeased the anger and the rage of God, in that for that merit, God gave him peace. Why? That he should not become a person of anger and hargaza.
Annoyance.
He should not become berogis. Berogis means
Beregis,
right? Upset. Why? Ubishvil says in the chief. Listen to these words. Kitava ha'ma'aseh she'asa Pinchas l'harog nefesh biyado. In nature, if a person does this, to kill someone with your bare hands, hayon otein l'hashir b'lev haregesh az gam acharkach. That feeling, that anger, that rage, that passion remains in your heart afterwards. But because he did it for the sake of heaven, but because he did it for the right reason, God said, you know what? I'm going to somehow remove that natural instinct, that personality flaw in you, that rage, that anger. I'm going to remove it from you and give you shalom. I'm going to give you a sense of peace and a sense of tranquility because you did it for the right reason. So, overreaction, anger, can be very destructive because not only does your anger be vented on somebody else, it becomes part of you as well. It becomes part of your personality, becomes part of who you are. And without the godly edict, not all of us have that brishi shalom, have that covenant of peace that God's going to say, you know what, I'm going to help you calm down. So you have to be righteous, you have to have the right ideas, but then we have to know how to go about bringing them to fruition. Bringing them to bear by doing it in the right way, not in the wrong way, because when you do it in the right way, A, you can accomplish your goals, and at the same time you don't affect yourself, you don't hurt yourself in the process. So it's a fine line, this whole zealousness thing. You know, on the one hand you have to feel that upsetness, you have to feel upset. When you walk by the JCC and it's open on Shabbos, you should feel upset, you should feel compelled to act about it, but not on your own. You should feel compelled to act in the right way, to speak out and to try to convince other people, to bring them close and to tell them Shabbos is important to the Jewish community, to all of us, whether you're Shomer Shabbos or not, that your institutions should remain Shomer Shabbos and not the other way around. Yeah.
Rabbi, channel your energy into positive ways.
Take your energy, feel the energy, and then channel it in positive ways.
Thank you.
Absolutely, very well said. Okay, you know, and this is a good topic for us to begin the 3 weeks also.
It doesn't always work.
No, it doesn't always work. You're absolutely right.
But
it's a good way.
From a very high position in the name risk because of it.
Okay.
And it didn't work.
I wouldn't say it didn't work. How do you know who you affected by resigning?
What happened was I was very active with the vice president. And I was head of the ADL group and committee.
Uh-huh.
And they were having a luncheon. So they were at a hotel. And upstairs was the kosher caterer. And downstairs was non-kosher. And they went ahead and had their lunch at the downstairs. So I said to them, I called them, how dare you do that? You can go upstairs. It's too much money. You don't have to. We're paying for it by ourselves. And you're a Jewish organization, the neighbor.
Let me ask you this.
And I said,
Let me ask you this.
I had a whole bunch of people.
When the Bay Brit has its dinners now, are they kosher or non-kosher?
I don't know.
I think they're kosher.
They're not? I think they're kosher today.
They're big ones.
Yeah, no, the individual groups
are not. Right, but the main big ones are kosher. So don't think that you didn't have an effect.
I tell you.
You might not have won that battle, but when they have their big dinners today, all those big dinners today are kosher.
See, that's why it's not necessarily.
Well, when I was talking to everybody after they came out of the migration, very nice to say,
I say this about leaving. You can only leave once.
Yeah, leaving is not a good idea.
Not usually, no.
Is a better idea.
Yeah, not usually, no. The best way to make the JCC Summer Shabbos is if we had a drive campaign on the condition that the JCC would close on Shabbos. That would have a far greater effect. 200 people joining would have a greater effect than 200 people leaving.